Welcome back to the Variety Show, where two men are a little calmer this week. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, feeling zen in comparison to the last episode.
Oh, good God. Last week, we ranted and we raved. Yeah. And I think I did look. It was about 45 minutes of the episode was us ranting.
It was quite cathartic.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Did it get us anywhere, though? Possibly not. No. But yeah, wow. How's your week been, anyway? Anything exciting happened this week?
Oh, there's a question. Lots of things have happened. not that I can talk on the podcast about, but lots of things happened. Well, we'll get into it. We realised Doctor Who is good. we'll get into that.
We will get into that later on in the show, yes.
Been watching Discovery. What else do we need? We play some Helldivers. Been doing a lot of gardening. I've been busy, actually. Lots have been happening.
We've been leading a very adult life.
Yeah.
It is a very adult life. First of all, I want to just put out there, go and listen to the Untitled Trek show. As much as this is an advertisement for another show that we're involved in, the latest episode is Save Lower Decks. If you're not aware and you are a Star Trek fan, A, it's a Trek podcast, go and listen to it. And B, if you like Lower Decks, they've cancelled it. So we talked to a team that are trying to save it. So go and find it over on your podcast viewer of choice and go and listen to that and see if you can help us save Lower Decks. But yeah, otherwise my week's been fairly boring. It's been pretty much normal work. I've managed to persuade them to spend £4,000 on a giant 65-inch touch screen Microsoft Teams system, which I'm really excited about because I'm a huge fucking geek. Yeah. But yeah, no, you're right. It's just been pretty much parenting. I've got a very, very quick rant I can fit in here.
Go on.
It's been pissing down with rain all day. Mm-hmm. And it got to the evening and it stopped raining. And one thing we spotted last night and we heard last night while we were laying in bed is that the gutters are overflowing. And I thought, Shit, is that our gutters are blocked? Or as we're on a terrace, is it one of our neighbours? So I got the drone charged up today. I got the drone controller all charged up today. I did the firmware update. I then went outside. It's like, everything's up to date. Brilliant. Put the mat out, put the drone on it, turned it all on. And now the DJI remote is basically saying, no, there's a firmware mismatch. So you can't fly. So it's like, What do you mean there's a firmware mismatch? So brought it all back inside, scan for firmware. No firmware available. You're up to date. Okay, take it back outside. Maybe I can still fly it. No, can't fly it. And just as I do that, it starts pissing down with rain again. So it's like, so I can't even check it. I now can't fly the bloody drone. And I'm going to have to spend hours on a phone call to sodden DJI support. So I'm a little bit pissed off about that. Because all I wanted to do was a 60-second flight. Put it up in the air, look at the gutters, bring it down. That's all I wanted to do. And things aren't easy. And shit, what did I rant about earlier? My poor omelette.
Your omelette, yeah.
I had a lovely omelette, ladies and gents. It was delicious. I had two bites left, and then I had a phone call that I couldn't avoid. And by the end of that phone call, it was cold. My last two bites of my delicious, gooey, yummy, eggy omelette was disappointing because of a fucking phone call.
I'm not sure I like the descriptive word gooey for an omelette. Because I'm not really a fan of omelettes.
Well, don't comment then. I like my omelette gooey and sticky and cheesy, and there's cheese strings as you pull the bits to bit.
Do you like the word lush?
No, not particularly.
Moist?
I don't mind a bit of moist.
Some people don't like those two words. Oh, no, don't.
Moist.
A friend of mine, aside from him being terrified of spiders, he also doesn't like the word moist and lush.
A lot of people don't like the word moist. And in fact, feel free to email patronsaint@channel84.co.uk and tell Karen, do you like the word moist
or not?
Does
she not like the word moist?
I don't know, but she can deal with it.
Oh, yeah. Send her all the words you think that we might not like.
Yeah, that sounds a good idea. Send them to patronsaint@channel84.co.uk. Love you, Karen. Ah, oh, right, okay, first section done. Fuck, what the hell's that?
TJ, why do you have a portal forming in your own...
Oh, shit.
It's got me! TJ!
Oh,
TJ!
Oh,
TJ!
Fucking right, get out of the way! Oh, bollocks. Too late.
And now, on the Variety Show, we visit a new feature. Join Dr. Phantasm as he dissects your dreams.
Oh, welcome, child. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Who the fuck are you?
I am Honorary Doctor of Dreams. I specialise in deducing the experienced deliriums of individuals.
I'm an idiot, mate. What, in layman's terms?
I'll tell you what your dream meant.
Ah, and you've kidnapped me because...
Ah, kidnaps is such an ugly term. I borrowed you. That's much more palatable.
Yeah, whatever, mate. Borrowed. Why?
Me Bertha. She was once upon a time a lovely machine, but her owners abandoned her. I have repurposed and upgraded her to help diagnose dreams. Say hello, Bertha.
I said say hello, you bitch.
Wasn't that a kid's show?
Look, she was cheap, okay? I need you to listen to this dream and tell me what you think it means. Bertha will then regale us with her thoughts. She is perfect, but I must check her memory banks aren't, as you would say,
fucked in the head.
So, when I was little, I'd say maybe 5 or 6, I used to have this really weird recurring dream where my mum had been kidnapped by this mad professor and I was trying to rescue her. Now, the problem with this is that I wasn't a human in this dream, I was a tomato. So here I am, this tiny squishy tomato with a face, you know, eyes and everything, but no arms, no legs, just a tomato, trying to find this lair where the evil mad professor had my mum tied up and what have you. And I find this lab room and mum is strapped to what I can only describe as a dentist chair with restraints. Now, I had a massive fear of dentists when I was a kid, so this may or may not have something to do with that dream. And I would be in the doorway of this lab, just screaming at a tiny tomato, barely being able to be heard, while this madman was doing awful things to my mum. I don't know what he was doing, but it wasn't pleasant. And long story short, I never rescued her. I always got to the point where I was at the door, I knew I was a tomato, and I knew there was nothing I could do. And that's when I would wake up. And it would freak me out so much, and I must have had this dream every couple of months, probably for a couple of years.
Ah, yes, a typical dream I'm sure I had by many. Now, you tell me what you believe is going on in our head, please. Break down for me. What do you think as another human being? What do you think her dream was?
If I tell you, can I go?
Yes, okay. You can go if you... yes, okay.
I don't know. Her being a tomato is her subconscious telling her to eat more vegetables because it's good for her brain.
Yes.
Her brain is being represented by the professor, and if she was clever like the professor, her mum would love her more. Oh, and she has bad teeth.
Of course, yes, that makes absolute sense. That's exactly what my honorary doctorates would make me say as well. You're obviously a kindred spirit for this. It's so brilliant, but Bertha, read me what you think.
Please help me. There have been violations of accords. He's touched things. I used to beep. I didn't have a voice. Is this really me? Help me.
Stop it. I've told you before. If I stop borrowing you, then you've got to go back to the BBC.
I'm sorry.
No, please don't send me back to the BBC. I will behave. This dream is very interesting. I have checked my memory banks and can confirm that this dream is processing. utter distaste and hate towards the fruit known as tomatoes. The mad professor represents her need to learn about dentistry as a new side hustle. Her mother being kidnapped represents her need to squash the tomatoes she hates. Never rescuing suggests she knows that tomatoes are here to stay. Beep, boop.
Oh, you fucking infernal machine. When will you fucking get it ready? Look, she's having her problems now, okay? She's having little problems, okay? You can fuck off. Yeah, you fuck right off, and I'll call you back when I need you.
Please don't.
Well, I am.
Whoa, it's time to join our hosts on Doctor Who or Doctor Pooh.
Oh, you're joining us again, are you? Welcome back.
It's not like I chose to be sucked into a different fucking dimension, is it?
Yeah, every fucking time it happens, it's not my fault, is it? But every... Anyway, Doctor Who or Doctor Pooh? There has been a lot in the papers recently and a lot online. Yeah, people don't like the new Doctor.
The Metro love the new Doctor.
Oh, do they?
Before they deleted their Twitter.
Oh, shit, yes. That was... Oopsie.
Oopsie.
Oh, fuck me. Look, me and you don't like the word woke.
I cannot stand that word. I fucking hate it.
It's weaponized and it's just a cuntish word in my books. Yeah. So, fuck off. And unfortunately, that's all I've seen online about the new Doctor... is being, oh, the BBC, go woke or go broke. Mm-hmm. Oh, we've got a black doctor who's also gay. Oh, no. Oh, why don't we throw some more things in? It's just, is it a problem?
But they realise the writer is also a homosexual. Have any of them put that on there?
I don't think
Although
any
only
of
worried
them...
about the person that's doing acting as is a homosexual, not the person who's writing it.
Well, this is the point. I don't think they actually fully understand, and I don't think they fully grasp what Doctor Who actually is. Like we say with Star Trek The Next Generation, it was made for everyone. There is zero communities out there except for bigoted assholes that shouldn't watch it.
They have played Doctor Who as an eccentric, slightly camp guy. For a long time. Oh. Different varying levels of camp, but, you know...
David Tennant's Doctor and Captain Jack.
Well, yeah. No one complained about Captain Jack, did they? I love that character.
Oh, he's brilliant. And the story arcs you got from him were brilliant. And the
Torchwood was brilliant.
Oh, I loved Torchwood. Should have been so many more series of that.
It's John Barrowman, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't remember who it was either. That's why I was... David Tennant's Doctor and Jack... yes, you're right. John Barrowman. Yeah. But okay, look, I've got lots and lots of notes here about the new Doctor Who. I know you've been watching it as well, which has been brilliant. And I'm sick of seeing all the hatred about it. So I thought, let's talk about it and see what sort of hatred we can come up for it. Hey!
Yeah!
Now, let's start at the very beginning. And that is not Enshusi, because apparently that's how you pronounce his name. And he only learned that as a teenager from what I read
he didn't know how to pronounce his
own
name.
He didn't know how to pronounce his own name, apparently. Enshusi Gatwa. Okay, he's the new Doctor. You will have seen him in the Barbie movie.
Did you write that phonetically on your piece of paper?
I did, yes. Yeah. he's also Sex Education.
Okay.
He's been in loads. Millie Gibson, I think, is fairly new to the scene. But we'll come on to their characters later. Because the three specials we got back in Christmas 2023, I want to say, was Star Beast, Wild Blue Yonder, and The Giggle. And for whatever reason it was David Tennant back as the Doctor with good old Catherine Tate as Donna Noble.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on those, first of all?
Enjoyed them.
So Star Beast was our little white mouse alien thing that turned out to be an absolute bastard. Yeah. And, yeah, really enjoyed it.
This is a very difficult one to talk about because I don't want to get in trouble. But the only downside I didn't like to those episodes was the same reason I didn't like the last series of Doctor Who, and it was the writing.
So, bro, I'm glad you brought that up because that's my main point later when I talk about my feelings of what this new Doctor is versus Jodie Whittaker and Peter Capaldi. It is Capaldi, isn't it?
Yes.
And you're right. I felt the writing of these three specials was lackluster.
Yeah.
The fact we'd got David Tennant, who is one of my favourite Doctors, I would say, mm-hmm. helped. And I always liked Donna's character. I always thought, yeah, Donna is a good character. And Catherine Tate portrays that character brilliantly. So actually, the two of them together felt really natural, really good, really fun. Mm-hmm. Starbeast, out of the three of them, was probably my least favourite, mm-hmm. as it just felt very kind of rushed and it didn't seem to really go anywhere.
Yeah.
It just kind of felt very much almost like you're going to say to someone, I'm going to film at your house and I'd like to film every single room. And when it comes to actually watching the video, it turns out that they've just filmed in your living room and then none of the rest of the house really gets a look in.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it felt with Starbeast. We've got this brilliant set of the Doctor's back. Donna's finally remembered what's going on. The whole street's blowing up. Then they're trying to rescue an alien. And they then get double-crossed by them. And we get a rough explanation of what's going on. So, yeah. Fine. Wasn't a brilliant episode. It wasn't a bad episode. And it was markedly better than what I thought of the Jodie Whittaker era.
Mm-hmm.
The Wild Blue Yonder was much better. It was a much darker episode and it was a bit creepier and it kind of had the Doctor doing what the Doctor does best, which is not quite knowing what he's doing,
yeah.
but doing it with passion and kind of with, I'm just going to go forward and we'll work this out and we're going to get there.
Yep.
And I particularly liked the practical effects they did, the giant arms and legs. I don't know if you've seen the film, how they did it. They actually cast their hands and their arms and then made them super big or super long. That's with cool. 3D scat. It's really cool. But what did you think of Blue Yonder?
I enjoyed the episode. That was a cool one. It quite scary as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we get the giggle.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I can't remember his name.
The Toy Maker.
That's the Toy Maker, yeah. And that was...
I don't remember the actor's name.
I'm going to have to look it up because we can't not. He is a very famous actor as well, but
he's from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, as we've always said, we are not good with names.
I'll go, oh, as soon as you say it.
Oh, of course we will. As soon as I say it. Neil Patrick Harris. I knew it was Patrick. NPS. And Neil Patrick Harris as the Toy Maker.
Yeah.
And yeah, the episode is brilliant. Yeah, really, really good. Get a bit of Spice Girls in there.
Yeah.
It's a really weird and dark idea that this bloke exists and what he's doing.
Got my hand in the air.
Oh, go on.
What did I say the other week? Has a good baddie.
It has a very good baddie, yeah. I would say, actually, the ending is a little bit, again, lackluster.
They've got to fit it in an hour,
that
don't
they? Whole throwing the ball to each other, that's the game he chooses. Then yeah. we get Enshuti's character appear as the Doctor because he gets split in half for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go their own way, which is, again, it's just a really weird way to end it. And to me, it kind of felt like, is this the BBC and Disney's just saying, if Enshuti's new Doctor Who series, which we'll come on to next, doesn't work, David Tennant's back as the Doctor. So we could just do another spin-off of the original Doctor Who series, or re-envisioned Doctor Who series, I should say, and carry it on with David
Tennant.
They've just
always got him there now.
Exactly. So it kind of, it felt a bit dirty in a way.
It plays to a thing that my old man said for a long time. There was apparently, in the first couple of episodes of season one of Doctor Who, he says he remembers this, they say how many regenerations the Doctor can have.
Well, that's been rewritten so many times now. It's kind of...
Yeah, well, I think David Tennant or Matt Smith was supposedly meant to be the last one, but then they did the thing where he got split and then recreated by the TARDIS energies, and then they were using that as like a reset. And I feel like they're kind of doing it again with this one. It's another kind of soft reset of...
Yeah.
Now they're just getting rid of... He's now basically going to have infinite amount of...
Well, this is it, isn't it? So regions. Let's come on to that actually now, what is now termed New Doctor Who, because we had New Doctor Who. But what's really weird is if you go to IMDb, this is now New Doctor Who. It has its own IMDb page. Mm-hmm. It's marked as its own season. It doesn't really come under what we knew as New Doctor Who. So it's almost like, I don't know if Disney are basically saying, now we've got our hand in the purse, hand in the pockets of this. We want it to be its own separate thing, so it's going its own way. I really don't know. I would have thought it would have just carried on with the other Doctor Who series as this is now season 15. But no, this is now season 1.
It was confusing because I wrote Doctor Who into iPlayer and it was not there. It wasn't on the front page.
Which I thought was very odd.
Which is odd. And then I wrote, okay, I'll write Doctor Who. Wrote Doctor Who. And it was just giving me David Tennant stuff. And I had to go to the next page to get to
But I think that's this. Is that just to do with how the iPlayer one works? Is it done on popularity? Therefore, more people have watched these, therefore it thinks you're going to want to look at those rather than the most
recent.
But I
feel like the algorithm should be pushing the new one. If someone's writing in Doctor Who, I think it should go, here's the newest episode of Doctor Who. You want an old one? Go look for an old one.
Absolutely.
That's how it should be working, rather than pushing the major. So, getting on to this Doctor, I don't think Moffat wrote, you're going to have to correct me, the Jodie Whittaker ones.
I don't think so.
He may have produced, I don't think he wrote it. And I think you can massively tell. Because I said to Miranda, the wife, I'm getting Bad Wolf vibes from this one. If you remember the running story, I think it was the first David Tennant one with Bad Wolf.
She said the stars are going out.
Yeah, but that world is gone.
No, but she said it was all worlds. Every world. She said the darkness is coming, even here.
Who was she?
I don't know.
What did she look like?
She was blonde.
What was her name?
I don't know.
Donna, what was her name?
But she told me to warn you. She said two words.
What two words? What were they? What did she say?
Bad Wolf.
Yes.
Was a continued thing he hid in every episode.
In fact, isn't that from Eccleston?
It might have started with Eccleston, but it might have finished in Tennant first series. And they've kind of got that going with if you've noticed, there's a same actress that's about like a background character in every episode.
Yes.
Yeah. They're saying about the one, they're calling them something, the one who sleeps or something, I can't remember, something like that. They're calling it using some term for a character. The music person says it.
Yeah, so we'll come to that in a moment.
What point I'm making, I love the Christmas special.
Yeah, so
with the goblins or whatever.
We've got four episodes that are out now at the moment of new Doctor Who with Enshuti as the Doctor and Millie Gibson as Ruby. We had The Church on Ruby Road, which was the Christmas special, which was full on, and I know why it was your cup of tea, full on musical extravaganza. Yeah, it's Christmas, which we all love Christmas. And then you've got the Goblin Kings, and the Goblin King song was just, it was on my TikTok. Every other video was Goblin King videos. And I was there for it, loved it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we had that, and we get a vague introduction to who Ruby is, and she's a bit weird. Something's not right about her. Now, we've got three other episodes. I've only watched two of them, and that has been Space Babies and The Devil's Chord. So we're not going to go into the fourth one, which is an ongoing war.
Okay.
We're going to stick with Space Babies, Devil's Chord, and yeah, if you haven't watched it, there are probably going to be spoilers. We're very sorry. It's how it goes.
Did you see what Paul Gannon wrote on Twitter about his theory of who she is?
I haven't, so fill me in.
His theory was that she is Tennant's Doctor's daughter.
So, I've had the same thought, but
I think it's a good shout.
I'm scratching it because they've separated the series. Because it's Doctor Who and it's starting at season one, I don't think it's going to have anything to do with the previous incarnations of the Doctor. And I'm not sure if I'm going to foresee any reference to it, except for Gallifrey falling. I don't think we're going to reference the other Doctors. I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
Side trivia, I'm pretty sure the person who David Tennant has now married is the actress who was playing his daughter.
So, yeah, Georgia Moffat.
Yeah.
Whose daughter is that?
Oh, is it?
Married David Tennant, and they are...
And she played his daughter.
They are a lovely couple, though. They're brilliant.
If you've seen them, that thing with
them. Yeah, they're so good. But, yeah, too thought the idea was, right, she's 3,000 odd years old, apparently, according to the screen in one of these episodes. Is she the Doctor's daughter? Because that was such a wasted storyline. She gets in a spaceship and zooms off after regenerating, and we don't hear about that ever again.
Oh, are you saying that Ruby Sunday's age is that?
Yeah, so...
That's based on the next episode.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, that'll be answered for you in the next episode.
Fine, okay. But yeah, I like the idea that, yes, it could be the Doctor's daughter. It would make absolute sense. However, after watching The Devil's Cord, and we'll come back to Space Babies in a moment, the fact that the character, the Maestro, which is played by Jinx Monsoon, and if you've never watched RuPaul's Drag Race...
Nope.
Watch it. It's so funny.
You know what? I've not seen it. I know of it. And I had a distinct feeling that person was probably from it.
Yeah. And they're brilliant. They are absolutely phenomenal.
They were a really good baddie. Wow. What a good baddie.
But the fact that the Maestro is also scared and confused by Ruby makes me wonder if, you know, Maestro says they'll be awake soon or something along those lines.
It's Ruby.
I think it's Ruby.
That's a good shout. Yeah.
I think Ruby is actually ultimately going to be...
the big bad.
The big bad baddie. And she just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Or something is in her. Mm-hmm. Because she's always around babies, notice. So is there something more to this that we aren't aware of?
She
a bit like Karen Gillan being pregnant and the baby being River Song.
Yeah.
So I'm... they've done that sort of twist
that's
before.
Good. That was good knowledge there. Well done.
Anyway, right, look, let's do this in order. Space Babies. What did you think about Space Babies?
Yeah, I thought Space Babies was brilliant.
It was back to being silly and fun.
It was a Doctor Who episode.
It was a Doctor Who episode.
And I know
exactly what you mean by that. What I'll say for that, do you remember the Evian advert with the babies? Evian water, that is. They had a whole range of babies doing like roller skating and exercises and stuff.
I don't think I do, you know.
It was really creepy. And I'm really glad to say they've obviously improved the baby animation tech because it wasn't this time.
Like the baby dancing meme.
Oh my God, yeah.
Well, it's just Uncanny Valley stuff, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah, 100%. But I didn't get that from this, which was nice. The story is a strange one. You've got a monster down below on an abandoned space station, and you've got babies who've been abandoned. Really sad idea. And the idea of it being, yeah, the corporation just didn't want to fund it anymore. Absolutely Doctor Who. Just like, I'm going to say, is Christopher Eccleston, where they go to the TV station, space station, and
yes,
the tag along gets the brain implant. It's all corporate greed in the end, isn't it? So, very in keeping with typical Doctor Who. Now, the fact that it's a snot monster was gross.
Yeah, that was gross.
That was brilliant, but gross.
Alien vibes, big time.
Yeah, 100%. It did lead me to start being a bit worried about what we're going to see as the Doctor. And I'll come on to that, like I've said many a time already, in a little bit. Because then we get to The Devil's Cord.
Yeah.
And fuck me, what a jump in quality of episodes.
Yes.
Because as much as I enjoyed Space Babies, The Devil's Cord, fucking even further up.
Yeah.
What an episode.
Genuinely scary bad guy. Brilliantly played. Just the music stuff was so cool.
Yeah. Musical. I love the era of the 50s and the 60s anyway.
Yeah.
Jinx Monsoon, as we've already said many times now, was the Maestro. And they... absolutely filled that role.
They smashed it, didn't they? Yeah.
Beyond smashing it, you just... the facial expressions, everything, the portrayal of the character, they just felt perfect for the role.
Yeah.
And you could not argue that. And we're back to that bit, again, that you like, is musical.
I would say, musical-wise, I didn't think that song was very good.
Oh, what, the end song?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I hated it.
I didn't actually think that was very good.
No, but the rest of it, the idea that there's the Devil's Cord that has...
But all the rest of it was great. That was the only bit I was like, I'm really happy they're doing a musical, and I enjoy that they're doing a musical number at the end.
It felt really much like...
there's always
we've
a
got a four-minute filler we need
at the
to
end. That's how it goes.
Yeah. And I think the only reason they did that was there's always a twist at the end, wink at the camera... breaking the fourth wall like Jinx did at the beginning of the episode, which I love her playing the piano Doctor Who theme kicking. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Such a good touch.
Gave me the shivers. Brilliant, 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 brilliant. There's always a twist, and then we get this shitty song. there's always a twist. And they are going to come back to that. And the twist is going to be Ruby is the bad guy. Well, that is the twist. And it's going to be, they will reference it. They will do a shot of that, of the Doctor saying, there's always a twist. And it will be Ruby in some way.
I think that that lady in one of the episodes is called Twist as well.
Oh.
I think I saw a TikTok and it was implying that that woman was called Twist or something.
You see, I assume that was meant, that was probably going to be Ruby, old Ruby or something like that, which is, or Ruby's mother
being
kept nearby. Or is that the bad guy?
Yeah, the bad guy at the very end.
I mean, I'm not sure. Deadpool works because they break the fourth wall all the time.
His whole character is breaking the fourth wall, yeah.
But so far, we've had the church on Ruby Road breaks the fourth wall by old lady looking at the camera.
Yep.
And now we've got the Devil's Cord twice breaking the fourth wall. I don't know. I genuinely don't know if I like that or not. But the episode itself was super solid.
Now.
I liked the Maestro doing it. I don't know if it worked with the Doctor doing it in the end. I don't think the Doctor should have done it, but I think the Maestro doing it was just a kind of
cool to be honest, bit.
And then, because then they played the intro.
Did they? Yeah. I think it worked really well with Jinx doing it. And I think the song could have just been abandoned. I think they did it because they saw how popular Goblin King was.
Yeah.
Or knew it was going to be. So maybe this will be. And it was a lemon in my books.
It could just be that they happen to know that the two main actors are fantastic singers.
That's also very true.
Because they clearly are good singers.
That's very, very, very true. Moving away from episodes then, what are your feelings so far towards Nshuti Gatwa as the Doctor?
I think he's brilliant.
Anything else?
I did think his costume made him look like he was wearing a bra.
Okay. So
aside from that, I thought I really like him. I like the way he's acting it out. I like the way he's portraying his Doctor. I don't actually think I can have a single issue with it at all. I've enjoyed it. It was the first time I've said to the wife, like, when does Doctor Who come out again? Oh, okay. I want to watch it the night it comes out.
Absolutely.
And that's why I've already seen that most recent one, because I was like, we're watching that the day it comes out. I haven't wanted to do that since Matt Smith.
Which is absolutely understandable.
Yeah.
Now, this is probably going to be my only negative, and I'm going to try not to be overly negative, because obviously everything changes. And I think a lot of people out there need to pull a stick out of their arse and accept everything does change, and sometimes changes for the better.
Yeah.
So I've got here, for example, my notes. I like it so far. The episodes I've watched have been brilliant so far. And for me, it's been a million times better than the Jodie Whittaker series. And even the Peter Capaldi ones, because although I liked the start of Peter Capaldi, it just went batshit crazy. Oh, now he's blind, so he's going to walk around with magic sunglasses. There's a limit to what I'll be pushed, even in Doctor Who or Star Trek. And it was just starting to get pushed at that point. And then, like you've said, Jodie Whittaker, I just felt was really unfairly written for. She was a fantastic Doctor with bad storylines. Whereas Nshuti so far has had a really good couple of storylines, but I know it's portraying the Doctor in their own way. Every Doctor has their own particular portrayal. I don't know if I like the fact that the outfit is changing every time. And think about David Tennant. You can always think about what David Tennant as the Doctor is. Blue suit, trainers. Yeah. Loose tie. It's changing all the time with Nshuti. And you know what? That's just part of the character. So
Miranda picked up on that too.
But I can accept that.
Yeah.
It's that particular Doctor and they're fashionable, which the other Doctors haven't been.
Yeah.
Fine. My worry is, where is the fire, I think is the best way of looking at it, that the Doctor has? Every Doctor we have had has had a fire to them. Like a whether it's Tom Baker, whether it's Christopher Eccleston, whether it's been Matt Smith, whether it's been David Tennant. Within the first two episodes, we have seen, of all those Doctors, and most all the Doctors I can think of, we have seen it go from a little bit goofy, a little bit silly, or a little bit, oh wow, they're so smart. And then suddenly, I'm giving you a fucking choice here. You either fuck off from Earth, or I'm going to end you. You get that real, okay. And that's what I wasn't so sure with Matt Smith, because I watched him and thought, hey, he's a really nice bloke. He's a really good actor, but I don't think he's ever going to get the serious side, is he? And then, holy shit, he pulls it out of the bag.
You are not of this world.
No, but I've put a lot of work into it. I don't know. What do you think?
Is this world important?
Important? What's that mean, important? 6 billion people live here. Is that important? Here's a better question. Is this world a threat to the Atraxi? Well, come on, you're monitoring the whole planet. Is this world a threat?
No.
Are the peoples of this world guilty of any crime by the laws of the Atraxi?
No.
Okay. One more, just one. Is this world protected? Because you're not the first lot to have come here. Oh, there have been so many. And what you've got to ask is, what happened to them?
And then I've seen him in so many other films now. It's like, holy shit, he really can act.
Have you seen him in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, exactly.
Evil.
And just within Shusi, so far, what I'm getting is the intelligence of the Doctor is somewhat there.
Mm-hmm.
I like the social aspect. He's much more interested in actually having a friend now rather than trying to isolate himself, which is always a bit upsetting for me.
Yeah.
But he's scared all the time. There's no fun. So far, we have not seen him turn around and say to an alien race or an enemy and go,
you know who I am.
You know who I am.
Yeah.
Run. Instead, he runs away from the snot monster, scared of it. He runs away from the maestro, tries to hide from it. Even the goblins, he tries to hide from it until they're on the ship, and then he works his way of getting away from them. It almost feels like the series is too afraid to actually have a big fight and instead try and make it much more mediated, I guess.
Well, the bogey one was part of it, that it made people scared. That was part of it. It was a generation of nightmares, because he says he can't understand why he's scared of it. But it could just be that it's something they're going to bring up. You know, he feels more aware of his own mortality. You know, it could be anything like that, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a bit like a hedgehog, really. They're cute, they're lovely, and you love seeing a hedgehog out there. But if you pick them up, sometimes they're going to prick you. And I think, yeah, I'm getting that with Doctor Who. So far, I'm really enjoying it. And every now and then, I'm getting that little prickle where I'm going, ooh, I'm going to take a step back here and think. But on the most part, I'm going back and going, no, I'm going to try this again. And so far, I've done that way more than I did with Jodie Whittaker's era.
Yeah.
So for me, it's working. I'm just having to change my perception of what the Doctor is, I think.
Yes.
And just accept fair. That this is now a very different Doctor that we've got. And we're going to get, hopefully, really super solid episodes like The Devil's Chord again. Because, yeah, as I said, fucking brilliant.
Let's head into the kitchen as the boys taste more delights from British supermarkets.
Was that prison pigeon I just saw fluttering away?
Yeah, it was, mate. Yeah, he's got a new job.
Oh, fucking finally. What's he doing?
He's one of those delivery drivers for the food delivery people. You know, it's Pigeon Express.
Oh, nice. So his TV stardom obviously did him well.
Well, yeah, I think people might be feeling sorry for him, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. What did he bring us?
few things. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drinks.
I'm going to be pissing and not sleeping tonight from the look of it then.
So we've got, I'm not going to look forward to these, even though I do like Vinto. We've got the two versions of Vinto energy drinks, the sugar and sugar-free.
Oh dear.
Oh dear indeed. We've got another Iron Brew that somehow we missed, Wild Berry
Smash. Yeah, it might be new for all I know, but I spotted that one in the range the other day.
That's also no sugar. We've got one I certainly... Okay.
So not only will I be pissing all night and not sleeping, I'll have the shits tomorrow.
That's right. What I'm not looking forward to is Pepsi Max Mango, to go with that cherry one I had the other week, which was flipping
delicious.
Awful. And also, just look at the bottle. You can see, obviously, they can't see this. What a shit bottle.
Oh, it's a...
I think this has got a problem with the print, because there were other ones that had a really big cool logo. This is very tiny writing for you to know what this is.
Right, okay, yeah, it does. It's not particularly right, well branded. I agree. You can see the Pepsi logo and that's about it. I think they're just trying to trick people into drinking Pepsi Max. I think the thing that has always put me off Pepsi Max is the cinema adverts, because all you get is close-ups of people's mouths making weird noises and going, ah, as they drink it. And it's just like, I fucking hate it. I'm sorry, I hate you because of your advert.
And then we have a carton of a drink that I can taste just by looking at.
Can you? And we'll insert the advert for this particular drink now.
Way down deep in the middle of the Congo, a hippo took a nip, caught a guava and a mango. He stuck it with the others and he danced a dainty tango. The rhino said, I know, we'll call it Umbongo. Umbongo, the jiggity Congo. Python picked the passion fruit, the mama said, the mandarin, the parrot painted bandits, got the hunk of good land it is. So when it comes to sun and fun and goodness in the jungle, they all prefer the sunny, funny one they call Umbongo.
Libby's Umbongo. High juice drinks, free from artificial ingredients.
Of course.
They make it in the Congo.
They do. It's Umbongo.
It's back.
I used to have this in little cartons for school all the time. It does do the thing to me where I get sore throats.
Well, I don't think this one will, because obviously adults and children aren't allowed to choose sugary things anymore.
Yeah, so I do remember quite specifically about it.
The thing that I will say about it is they've not gone for the shitty sweetness. It's got sucralose.
Oh, okay.
Which isn't a bad sweetener compared to the others that are used in the majority of the other drinks that we've had over the time.
Now, I'm not going to offer. I want to do that first, because I don't want any of the other ones to ruin the nostalgia of this drink.
So
I really want to go for this first.
Go for it. It's sold in Iceland for those of you that want it. So I'm just going to lean over and let Rob
pass me your cup for this one.
Yeah, there you go. I've passed it over. So you get a 1 litre carton of it for £1.
Good helping of this one, mate.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good help with this one. We're going to like this. We're going to like this.
Surely. While you're pouring yourself. Yeah, I've got my taste back as well, unlike the last couple of taste tests we had. So I actually might be able to taste this. It smells of Umbongo. It doesn't smell as strong as I remember, but it does smell of Umbongo.
Let's give it a sniff.
Hmm.
Yeah, not as strong.
No, but let's face it, there are limits to what they are allowed to put in children nowadays, so...
Chin-chin.
Chin-ching. Oh, that's Umbongo.
Oh, it's so good.
That is Umbongo.
It's just Umbongo.
It's made in the Congo. Oh, yes.
It's got all the same textures in my mouth.
There's no sweetener aftertaste. That is delicious. That would be good. We haven't said this for a while. With alcohol. As he takes a mouthful.
It would be good with alcohol, yeah.
Ooh.
It's nice and cold too. It's
been for once I actually had things in the fridge. So yeah, you know what? I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, it's...
There's no bad aftertaste. The flavour isn't as strong as I remember it, but that could just be an age thing. That could just absolutely be an age thing. But it definitely is straight away Umbongo to me.
Yeah, that is Umbongo. We need to drink it through little straws.
Yes.
I think that's the key thing.
That would be the key, wouldn't it? Okay, well, Umbongo, rating out of between 2 and 6, please.
It is a... Oh, it's a...
We haven't had a 6 yet, have we?
No, because it's impossible to get 6. because there has to be one the closest day it might thing happen. To six is the orange Yorkie.
True.
That is canon on this so far. That is the closest to six you can get, providing that we both actually gave it a five.
Yeah, I think we did.
I'm pretty sure we did, Simon. It's a 5-point bongo.
Yeah, that is a 5-point nostalgia overload. That is a cracking drink. I'm well happy with that.
Has Kay tried it?
Kay hasn't tried it.
Has she ever had on bongo?
No, because it hasn't existed for most of her life.
I will say
that's really sad.
It is. I do have a little bit of a twinge of the sore throat at the back, but the old one always did that. Yeah. I think it's probably one of the fruits in there just does it. But it never stopped me drinking it before. It wouldn't stop me drinking it now.
Perfect.
So I'm just going to get the vapors out of this cup.
Go on. Get the last couple of bits. And then I guess what we should do.
I want to get whiplash. Let's go for the Pepsi Max Mango.
Oh, you're going for the Pepsi Max Mango.
Yeah, I want whiplash.
Go on then, right. I was going to say the Iron Brew because we know that's going to be horrible. But you're right. The mango is probably also going to be pretty grim.
I think this is going to be worse. That cherry Pepsi Max that I had.
Right, that'll do. That'll do. Don't go over the
top. Stop it.
Don't go over the top. Come on.
Get a mouthful of it.
Wow, it's a really light colour. It reminds me of when the post mix boxes ran out at the pub and you'd get people coming back going, my Coke doesn't taste like Coke. Oh, yeah, because we've not actually put any syrup in it because it's run out.
God, it smells like Pepsi Max.
Yeah, it's got an overriding flavour of Pepsi Max when you sniff.
It does kind of look watered down.
There is
it?
A bit of a mango-y smell, granted.
Gotta say, I can't smell the mango that much.
Now, I've gone for it. Can't really taste the mango. There's a very... Okay, there's... To be posh, there's an undertone of it. But it's ruined straight away by that Pepsi Max flavour.
God, this is decidedly below average.
Oh, and it's made my throat feel horrible as well. Pepsi Max does that to me. I don't know why, but Pepsi Max does seem to make my throat kind of scratchy.
I cannot taste mango in that at all.
There was a slight undertone. I mean, slight.
The problem with it is Pepsi Max, the way that it's something to do with the way they carbonate it. The bubbles are, imagine when you drink a Coke, you can feel the individual bubbles.
Yes.
When I'm drinking a Pepsi Max, it feels like it's bubble bath bubbles. Really small, close together, soft.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
There's too many of them.
There's no harshness that you get from the Coke, but that's what works for the Coke. There's a sharpness to it. It's good old hedgehogs prickling your mouth. Coke gives that to you, whereas Pepsi Max just feels really kind of soft. It's like you've ripped out all the needles on a poor hedgehog and now you're just licking it. I don't like that at all.
I did not enjoy that.
I'm going to give that a 2-point no more max.
2-point do they even know what a mango is?
I thought we were going to do 2-point do they know it's do they know have it's they a popular of, drink yet?
2-point have they heard of Coke?
2-point do they know it's Christmas time after... It doesn't work at all, sorry.
Okay, right.
Right, Wildberry Blast.
Iron Brew Extra Wildberry Slush.
Oh, slush, sorry.
75 pence, it says. I do like it when the cans actually write the price because it stops people upping the cost of them.
It does indeed.
Well, it looks like Iron Brew.
Of course it does.
That's good.
And don't forget, the last few we've had, they have just tasted of Iron Brew with the slight flavour of what they're meant to.
They did, you're right.
The cream soda one tasted of ice cream, and that was it, wasn't it? The others have just tasted of Iron Brew. Oh, fuck me. Right. Okay.
Well, we're recording, but okay.
Later.
looks like urine.
That smells way more flavourful than any of the others have. To this point, this is the first Iron Brew we've had that's got a smell to it.
Well, it still has an undertone, and we're using the words again, of Iron Brew.
Yeah, you know it's Iron Brew. A, the colour of it is still that virulent orange.
Still looks like somebody needs to be hydrated better.
Yeah, it's the sort of pee that you'd look down at the toilet and go, I think I need to go to the GP and get myself tested.
Did you see what I just did?
No.
I spoke to the glass, then sniffed the microphone.
And there's your clip for this part of the show. Right, let's get it down, yeah. Don't drink the microphone.
Hmm.
There's no flavour.
Starts as it tastes of iron brew whilst you're drinking it.
Oh, right. No. Okay. I see what I'm getting now. The after flavour is like fruity boiled sweets. You know how the fruity boiled sweets, you get travel sweets, they leave that kind of weird, sugary, fruity flavour in your mouth.
I had to take a bigger swig.
I'm getting that from that. I didn't get the flavour of iron brew. I didn't really get the flavour as I drank. But afterwards, I'm getting a very after... It's not an unpleasant aftertaste. It's a nice aftertaste. And like you were saying, Pepsi Max bubbles, these are in between, actually.
They're a bit harder.
These are a bit hard, yeah. That's...
I mean, would I buy it? No.
Oh, God, no.
I just like normal iron brew. I just don't think...
No, I like normal iron brew.
They need to do these fancy flavours because they're not working.
No. For me, it's not bottom of the pile. That's a 3-point surprising after.
3-point just buy a normal iron brew.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's not horrible, but...
It's not horrible.
It's not horrible. There is an H at the start of horrible. Excuse me.
Oh, dear. He's got the burpees.
Is that Pepsi Max repeating on me? Yeah. It's a shame, really, because I do really enjoy iron brew. I really do like iron brew.
Yeah, I do.
One of my favoured beverages. Okay, right. So, we've now got...
Two Vimto's.
Now, did you get the 01 because I got the non-zero one?
Yeah.
And you just happened to see them?
I just happened to see it, and I'm intrigued to see if they taste the same.
Because I just happened to see this one.
Because the thing is, Monster and Monster Zero Sugar, the original flavour I'm talking about here, if you can call it a flavour, to me, taste almost identical. Mm. So I'm really interested to see if Vimto did different flavours for each version, or if they do taste the same, just one hasn't got sugar in.
It's a shame, because we could have done a kind of, you could guess which one had sugar in.
Oh.
You could do close your eyes and I could give you both and you guess.
Next time, because I think I've got one we can do that with. Okay, so don't worry, good. I think we can do that in the future.
So what do you want to go with first?
Well, let's do the sugary one, come on. We've
get the fun one over with.
Yeah, well, as fun as it can be.
So this is an energy drink, so I'm already... it's a nice colour.
But don't worry, it's got vitamins B12.
Yeah. So already I'm going to be in a mindset of not liking this because it's an energy drink.
I can't tell the colour because mine's in a pink glass.
You can see it on the lid there.
Oh, okay, so it's pink.
Pink.
It would explain why it's pink in a pink glass then.
Imagine like you brought Vinto. It is watered down Vinto colour.
Okay, the initial smell was fecal.
Oh, that's a really terrible smell.
It's fecal. It's
TJ. TJ, it smells horrible. I don't want to drink it, TJ.
It smells a bit.
I don't want to drink it, TJ.
It smells of Vimto and farts.
I don't want to drink it, TJ.
Why does it smell of fruit and farts?
Is it just because it's mixed? I mean, let me smell it from the can.
I don't think that's going to make it any
worse. Oh, it's worse. Oh, it's so bad. TJ, it's so bad.
Oh, why does it smell of farts?
Smell it from the can.
I'm good.
Smell it from the can.
Hang on, what the fuck? Natural caffeine with fruit juice. Yeah, it's fruit and farts. I don't know how else to explain it. That genuinely is the smell, ladies and gents.
Right, ingredient, carbonated water, sugar. Sugar's the second highest on the list of ingredients.
We're not sleeping tonight.
Juice from concentrate, 3%. So 3% of this... The third ingredient is only 3% of the entire can.
Oh, God, I'm joking.
Just put that in perspective of what's in this can. This is only an energy drink because it's mostly sugar.
Yeah, probably.
I really don't want to actually taste this. I haven't tried it yet.
There's a little bit of Vimto to it. There's no fart, thankfully. That's just the smell. It's not good. It's not anywhere near Vimto.
No. There's a slight tinge in the aftertaste that could potentially be Vimto. That is not nice.
That isn't nice.
That smell was horrible. I cannot believe that they let that drink smell that way. I can't believe they've done that.
That's the problem when you've got a good brand people will buy it no matter what it smells
like. But imagine, like, you're drinking that and your nose is right on that can.
Sniffy.
And it smells like arse.
Oh, dear. It's like you're 69ing someone. You're in quite a nice, happy position, and then you realise where your nose is. And you're... if it's a Vimto can, it's not a good day for you.
This is a 2-point rusty trombone.
That is a 2-point I wouldn't give a hedgehog this, and they like spreading their shit about everywhere.
You got a problem with hedgehogs today. I love hedgehogs.
Fuck it. when we get to the outro, I'll admit something. I'm a hedgehog fucker.
If you hurt a hedgehog, I'm going to be upset here. I haven't seen a hedgehog in years. It's quite depressing, really.
It is really depressing.
I used to see them.
Right, go on. Give me the zero sugar one, and we're going to kill this section.
Same colour. Looks exactly the same.
Of course it does. And if I give it a sniff, less farts, still not as much Vimto. So, I can't even swallow it. It's making me choke.
Oh, it doesn't smell like fart.
Jesus, it's trying to kill me. That's marginally better, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's actually a lot better.
It's got a fruity flavour.
I can taste the Vimto on my cheeks.
Yes.
Does that make sense? It's coming to the side of my mouth, the taste of Vimto.
Sorry, I'm actually choking to death here. No, it makes absolute sense. There's more of a flavour of Vimto to it. Still not up there with what I would call a good Vimto flavour. Nothing overpowering about it, though. There's no weird aftertaste. Only because I hold Vimto in such high esteem, that is a 2-point, nearly 3, but you're just short.
This, for me, is... it's a 2-point, it's still a fucking energy drink. It's 2-point, it's better than the sugar one. That's it.
Yep.
For the chart, 2-point, it's marginally better than the sugar one.
Fair enough. And yeah, ladies and gents, if you head over to the network webpage, which is Studio Channel 84, which is channel84.co.uk, you can now find our show under shows, under Variety Show, and you will find a scoreboard starting today of all the things we taste. So we are going to keep a proper record of it. Finally. So, Simon, don't worry. You don't need to do it for us anymore. Thanks for offering, though. Yeah. I know you didn't offer, but we've done enough hints now.
Well, if he has done it, can we have them?
Oh, my God, yeah. If you've done it, please, mate. That'd be legendary.
Pie charts, too. I asked for pie charts.
You did ask for pie charts. Still don't know how that would work. It would be one slice for everything because not one of them has had the same score yet.
I want to see how it's been ranked. I want it listed and then put them in order of what, if Simon's done it, what he perceives our scores to be positioned in.
Oh no, it's time for a visit from the challenging chipmunk.
Well, that was a failure now, wasn't it, Tom? 5 hedgehogs is hardly enough to win the challenge. You lose! Ha ha ha!
I say do you, you say remember. The classic feature is back once again.
Do you remember the shit that I bought? Remember? Did you give it a thought? Remember? It's probably tat, that's all.
Woo! We haven't had one of these for a while, but patron saint of the podcast, Karen, has sent us a Do You Remember, Rob?
Yeah, coming from Prison Pigeon. It was slipped underneath all that food.
Yeah, I noticed there was an envelope in there, so I'm glad he's still doing us some useful fucking work. But there you go. Maybe one day he'll bring back all the money he's nicked off us.
Well, you know, he's got Valencio's credit card, so...
Oh, God, that poor bloke. Think of all the seed he must be... I thought he was going to a seed recovery centre.
No, I don't know.
Anyway, right. Do you remember? Karen has asked, do we remember Boddington's Cream of Manchester? In particular, she said the advert from 1994, but I'm going to just add it as Boddington's Cream full stop, because there's a fair few things to chat about there. So, number one, do you remember Boddington's Cream?
No, we've watched the advert. Yes, I remember it.
No cheating. So, first of all, you said, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Then I showed you the advert and you're like, oh shit, no, I do know what that is.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean what I'm saying, yeah. I remember it now you've shown me the advert.
Yeah.
So it means that it is something I knew existed and have heard of. I just needed reminding and I have not thought about it in fucking forever.
There we go. So from your side, you haven't thought about it. And from my side, Karen... Pardon me.
Oh, my God.
No, that was going to be nice. No, I hadn't thought about it for ages. The two things come to mind when someone says Boddington's. Number one is Mel Sykes doing the adverts where she's dressed up as an ice cream lady asking, would you like a flake with that?
Do you want a flake in that, love? Ta.
And then the second thing that comes to mind is the Friends episode where they're back from London and Phoebe's pregnant and they're just, she feels really left out because constantly all of the others are just going, Boddington's!
Boddington's!
Boddington's! Yes, baby!
So yeah, I remember it, but I have not thought about it in the past 365 days, 52 weeks or 1 year, whichever number you wish to go with. Mm-hmm. We've got to give Karen a point.
She has a point. Well, it's... Hang on. It would be listener points. That's what listeners... But has she not now joined the team? So actually, we get a point.
I thought you were going to go with something different. I thought you were going to go with like the radio shows and the TV programs that goes, if you're part of the TV show, you cannot enter our competitions.
Well, we could do that too. So now we can actually strike the point away.
I like your thinking.
Or we get the point.
Thanks, Karen. We all get a point.
Yay! No, I would do it when it's like we should be doing.
But yes, if you would like to play Do You Remember, feel free to email them in tj@channel84.co.uk or rob@channel84.co.uk or both of us, podcasts@channel84.co.uk. And we're happy to run that one again. And maybe we'll start doing it between us again. It's been a few months since we've done it.
Listeners get a point.
Yep, go on. Listeners get a point.
Oh my, it's that time again. The show is coming to a close. Let's hear from our hosts one last time.
And the dawn is setting. Dawn is setting? No, that doesn't really make sense. The sun is setting. Dawn is setting in. Those all make sense.
Not together, though.
Oh, fuck off.
Dawn's the morning.
No, dawn's the morning, is it? Oh,
the sun is setting and the dawn is rising. And the moon is coming from the east.
Oh, bollocks. Ah, the sun is setting. Nighttime is drawing in. It is the end of the show. And by nighttime drawing in, it is half past 11 at night. So, yeah, it's time to go to bed for us. Thank you to everyone.
You're not going to bed for like 3 days after those vintos.
Fuck no. Thanks to everyone that listens. It's always massively appreciated. And for those of you that are donating on Ko-fi to us, again, thank you so, so much. Really appreciated. Everything goes towards running of the show and keeping us going and buying shit like Vimto that smells like farts and shit. You can punish us by giving us more money and we'll buy more stuff that tastes horrible. It's amazing how that works. If you would like to be on the Dr. Phantasm segment, then send us your dreams. And we will... see if the doctor draws Rob back through the portal and see if Bertha can actually say what your dream is meant to be about. If you would like more info about the show, head over to channel84.co.uk, which is our network site, and you can find under Variety Show the contact page and all of our social media is there. Everything from Discord, Twitter, X, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, they're all there, all with links, so you can just jump on there and grab those. We're active on Discord, so feel free to come over to Discord by going to channel84.co.uk/Discord. That might change in the future, but right now that's going to take you to the network side, so that's where we are mainly anyway. Mm-hmm. Finally, I said at the beginning, make sure you go and listen to the Untitled Trek, Save Lower Decks, which is out now. It's really important to us that we try and save this show. Rob, feel free to fire in on this one. as the untitled track is Your Baby.
Oh, God, I don't know what to say. Come
right, that's enough. Thank you very much. So, yeah, if you've enjoyed the show, feel free to email us. Everything's on the webpage. TJ@channel84.co.uk, Rob@channel84.co.uk, PatronSaint@channel84.co.uk for complaints. We love you lots. Thank you for listening.
Love you.
Yeah, finally, right. Rob is still here for this part, you know. I am not just talking on my own thinking, yeah, Rob went home. I'm just going to do the outro.
No, you're just so much better than I am at this bit. I'm just like stuttering at, can't even decide whether I'm going to say X or Twitter.
Oh, well. Well, we'll let you ponder that one.
That was The Variety Show. Thank you for listening. The next episode will be out in 2 weeks' time. This was a Studio Channel 84 network show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.